to Parshas Toldos. Parsha begins with the Eile Toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham. Avraham is Yitzchak. Vayihi Yitzchak ben Arboim Shana. Parsha begins, Yitzchak was 40 years old. Bekachtoi es Rivka bas Pesuel Harami mipadan Adam. So the pasuk begins that Yitzchak got married, and the way he describes the Yitzchak getting married is one pasuk, bekachtoyes Rivka. He took Rivka when he took Rivka as a wife. Lo liisha, he took her as a wife. What's interesting is we have the previous parsha, Parshas Chaye Sara. Almost the entire parsha is devoted to the shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka. And it's very clear from Parshas Chayesara that the one that chose Rivka was not Yitzchak. The one that chose Rivka was Mehashem Yotza Hadavar. It was through Eliezer, through the entire story. And we have an incredible story of Hashkacha Pratis, how he came to the well, he made a bakasha, Hashem answers bakasha, and so on and so forth. And when the entire episode was over, the pasuk was very clear, Lo yuchal daber toivara, me Hashem yotzo hadova. And here, all of a sudden, Parashas told us as if we completely forgot about the whole story of Parashas Chayesara, and it makes it very simple. Here we have Yitzchak. He was in Shidduchim, he went to Lakewood, he was there for 6 months in the freezer, he got out of the freezer, so he was Shidduch, and he went out a couple of times, and that's what happens, and that's what it says. It says he took for himself a wife. So I believe over here there's a very powerful Musar Haskel, and the truth is, in every single Shidduch, the truth is, there are two different ways to look at the Shidduch. There is the way Hashem looks at the Shidduch, and there is the way the person looks at the Shidduch. When Hashem prepares the Shidduch, there is incredible Hashkacha Pratis that goes on behind the scenes. But yet, part of Hashem's bracha in the process of Shidduch makes a person think that he found the Shidduch on his own. And that's the difference between Parshas Chaye Sara and Parshas Toldos. Chaye Sara is the Shidduch from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, behind the scenes, makes things happen. May Hashem Yotza Hadava. But the Chosn and Kala think that they were the ones who found each other. And that's where the pasuk begins, a whole new perspective. We have here, Bekachtoi, Vayitza ben Arusha, Bekachtoi Yisrivka, Bas Vesol Harami, Ben Aran, Achois, Lovin Harami, I took her, Lola Isha. And why is this necessary? So if you go back to Parashas Bereishis, we learn why it's necessary. Parashas Bereishis, Adam did not choose to take Chava as a wife. He had no choice, because she was the only girl on the market. She was the only one available. And what happened? After Chava gave Adam teeth from the Eitz Hadas, Hashem comes to Adam, why did you eat? And what does he say? Ho'isha asher nosata li. It's the wife that you gave me. How could Adam Arishon so quickly turn on his wife? He just says, don't blame me, it's blame her. That's the worst thing you could possibly do in marriage, is to blame your spouse. You have to stick up for your spouse. If your spouse, everyone knows this, a child, or someone's child gets into trouble in yeshiva. So who's going to defend the child? Even if the child commits the worst crime, the child can always be certain that their parents will always come to school and defend them. There's always some rationale why their child is right. Just like that's true when it comes to children, the same thing is true when it comes to friends, and certainly when it comes to a spouse. The most important thing you have to do in life is you have to defend your spouse. And here, when Chava goes and gives it to Adam backs up and says, don't blame me, blame her, I have nothing to do with her. Why was Adam so willing just to put the blame on Chava and not show any degree of loyalty to his wife? It's because he did not appreciate her. Why did he not appreciate her? Because I had no choice. Isha asher nosata li. You gave her to me. You gave her to me. That was true by Adam and Chava. But when it comes to Yitzhak and Rivka, it did not have to be like that. There are many girls that were available for Yitzhak to marry. Yet, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this pasuk, makes it very, very clear that although behind the scenes, back in Parashas Chayei Sara, there was incredible hashkacha that was playing out, may Hashem yotza hadavar, in truth, it was really a so'isha asher nasat li, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Parashas tells us that Hashem put the machshava into the mind of Yitzchak, that Yitzchak is the one that is going to select Rivka, so that Yitzchak will appreciate who his wife is, and later in life, especially when it comes to this whole decision, the whole difficult situation with Esav and Yaakov and the brachos and the aftermath of what happened, there will be a degree of loyalty between the two because it's the wife that I took for myself. So the Musa Haskell is, in life, part of Hashem's brach is he lets us think that we make our own decisions. But the truth is, behind the scenes, to a very large degree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making many of the decisions for us. Not to say that we don't make decisions. Hashem put us in this world for Bechira Chavshas. But there's definitely a balance between the two, where there are definitely things that Hashem does behind the scenes, and when He lets us feel that we are in control in order to give us the satisfaction and to appreciate the things in life that we do need to appreciate.
So I didn't choose Rivka, Eliezer chose for him.
And that's exactly what I tried to explain. That's exactly the point. The pasuk does say here to some that there was some degree where he had a choice. The pasuk makes it very clear, Bikachtoi es Rivka lo liisha. He took Rivka as a wife. It wasn't eso isha shernasata li, as it says by Adam and Chava. It says here that I took her. I decide I want to take her. He had a choice. He didn't have to accept this as a shidduch. Just because Eliezer brought her back, he didn't have to accept her. But it was so obvious. Go look at all the miracles that happened, and look at the miracles that happened in Parshas Chayei Sara. Hashem clouded his vision. Hashem said, let him decide on his own. Let him decide if this is the shidduch that he wants. So he should appreciate who he is married.
How is okay, possible? Okay. Okay.
Afterwards.
Adam HaRishon that was created.
You don't understand what he said.
Okay. Then I have to go. Okay, let's go to another. Let's go to another idea. Okay. This week we'll talk. This week is Shabbos Mevarchim Parsh Chodesh Kislev. Chodesh Kislev starts off the Chanukah season. Chanukah begins, and after Chanukah we go into Teves, and we go into Shvat, and then before we turn around we go into Purim. We now are in the period of time of, you know, the whole month of Cheshvan to some degree is like the Ishru Chag of the Yamim Merim. In fact, that's one of the reasons why it's called Mar Cheshvan. Mar Cheshvan, the word, I don't remember the exact word, means to murmur. Merach Hashan, Sifasei, the lips are murmuring. The month after Tishrei, we're still singing the Nigunim, it's still fresh in our lips. The Nigunim of the Yomim Noiroyim. Now we come to Kislev, we come into the winter, and we come into the Tukuf. The winter represents the Golus, just in times of the year, the time of the year, the Golus, the long nights, is symbolic of Golus. And in Golus, there are difficult times, and Chazal have given us two Yom Tovim in the winter time, two major holidays, Chanukah and Purim. Now typically, we think of Chanukah and Purim as two separate holidays. There's a holiday of Chanukah, and there's a holiday of Purim. These are the Chagim, which are the Chagim of Golus.
Told us about this. Small light. You have a little light.
Yeah.
It lights up in a room.
A little. Okay.
Total darkness.
It gives a lot more light. A small light in darkness is when you can appreciate. Okay. Let's. I want to talk about a different idea. We have here in this week's parasha, Yitzchak. Yaakov comes to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak smells Yaakov. Re'ei reach pini kireach hasodeh asher berucho Hashem. The pasuk begins by Yorach es bigodov. He smelled Geshunu Elai vayigoshu. By Yorach es reach bigodov. He smelled. He inhaled the aroma of his clothing. His clothing were gediizim. It's a shocking pasuk because the garments that he was wearing were on his hands were the gediizim. And there's nothing. Rashi says there's nothing that has a more foul odor than Izim, goat skin, and yet, for whatever reason, that reach was hidden by the aroma, the aroma of Yitzchak, the reach sada, and Yaakov praised. So Yitzchak praised Yaakov. There's a famous Chazal say, "Don't read begodim, those who rebel. Yitzchak Avinu at this moment in time saw Peruch HaKodesh, the worst sinners of Klal Yisrael. And even among the terrible sinners of Klal Yisrael, they saw that in them there was a nitzotz of Kedusha. And the Medrash gives two very specific examples. This Medrash is found, I know Rabbi Cholzman, in one of the sources, so I wrote down the source for you. It's in Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Samachei Simin Chof Beis. Who are the two specific examples? Yosef Mishisa and Yokum, am I pronouncing his name right? Yokum Ish Tsiroros. What are the story with these two people? So Yosef Mishisa lived during the time of the Churban. I assume by Sheni. Yes, they exist. He lived during the Churban by Sheni. The Romans sent him into. They conquered the Beis Hamikdash, and they said, "Listen, you go in first, and you take out. We want you to be mevaze the Beis Hamikdash." And he was one of the Rishonim. He was one of the people that was working together with the Romans, with the enemy. He was on their side. He was a rebel. He was a meshumad. He was a mumar, a meshumad. He was one of the bogdim, the ones who rebelled against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the enemy was very pleased. They have someone on their side. They have an enemy. They told him, in reward for what you have done, we want you to go into the Beis Hamikdash. We think whatever you want, you can keep it. And not only will you keep it, it will be a satisfaction for us that one of the Jews themselves are desecrating the Beis Hamikdash by taking the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash for their own purposes. He goes in and he takes out a menorah shel zahav. Doesn't seem that he took out mamish the menorah. Maybe he did. It just says in the Medrash, a menorah shel zahav. Maybe it was the menorah. I don't know, whatever it was. He takes it out. He comes out to the enemy, assuming it's the Romans. It could be there was a different tkuf. I don't know exactly which tkuf it was. There were many tkufas where there were a lot of trouble during the time of the Bais Sheni and Bais Rishon as well, but whatever it was. He takes out the menorah shel zahav, and the enemy says, "You know, you're a commoner. You're just a head yod. It's not roy for a person like you to have in his house a menorah shel zahav in the Beis Hamikdash. This belongs to the king, to Titus. To Titus, we're not going to give this to you. So give it to us and go back and find something else that you like." The experience of going into the Beis HaMikdash and sinning in such a way of taking out of the menorah shel zahav was made, and this conversation with the Romans had such an effect on him, he immediately did tshuva. He says, "You know what? What have I done? How could I have done such a terrible thing?" It really hit him. After everything that happened, this hurt him very much. How could it be that I rebelled against my Creator and taken one of the klesharis for myself? You know what? I'm not going back inside. I don't care. I'm not doing this again. I have charata. So they said, "What do you think of charata?" Now, obviously, this is a public spectacle. Everyone was watching. "Go back in. We'll even give you off. You don't have to pay taxes for 3 years. Just go back and take something for yourself." He refused. The Romans, whoever they were, tortured him to death. The Gemara, the Medrash describes in detail how they tortured. They took him on a bed of nails. They dragged him. They tortured him to death. And to the very last moment, he was choizer b'shuva for his rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was one of the two people which Yitzchak Avinu saw al pi Ruach HaKodesh at this moment in time when Yaakov came in front of him, and Yaakov and Yitzchak smelled the Reach Begadav. Then the Medrash gives a second example. Only two other person that Yitzchak saw was Yokum Ish Tsiroros. Who was he? He was the nephew of Yossi ben Yoezer. Yosef or Yossi? Yossi ben Yoezer. He was the nephew. Yossi ben Yoezer was in jail, and he was waiting on death row. He was waiting to be hung, to be executed for teaching Torah. And he had a nephew. His nephew was a turncoat. His nephew was a very distinguished member of society, of the Roman society, because he abandoned religion and he worked his way up in government. And he figured, you know what, before my uncle dies, let me go visit him. Let me go make Litzanus of him. Let me have a good time. So Yossi Ben Yoezer, the Medrash makes a whole point of mentioning that he goes on a horse. He gets on a royal horse, like we just learned in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Shlomo HaMelech had these exotic horses from Egypt, worth 150 kesef. He gets on this exotic horse, and he rides on the horse, and he comes to the cell, the jail cell of his uncle Yossi Ben Yoezer, and he says, look, what was it all worth, serving Hashem? It's a lenarishkeit, it's a waste of time. Look at the difference between you and me. Look at my horse and look at your horse. I think that's what the Medrash says. Look at my horse and yours, meaning look how I've been elevated because I've abandoned Hashem's ways. I am riding high, and you, because you've served Hashem, you are nothing. So Yossi ben Yoezer says, wow, look at the kavod that you have. You are Rasha Merusha, my nephew, worst of the worst. And look at the reward you have received. You can imagine, achas kama v'kama, how much reward Hashem will one day give those people who have observed His mitzvahs. So the nephew said, there's no one that I know more that has observed the mitzvahs than you, my uncle. And look what how you've suffered. Look how you're suffering. So now Yosef says, just the opposite. He turns around and he says, if I'm suffering for my small imperfections, you can imagine how much the Rishon, people like you, are going to suffer one day for their major defects, for their wickedness, their rishis. So this conversation, going back and forth, Hashem will one day reward the righteous and will punish the wicked, and so on and so forth, made a very powerful roshim on Yos, on Yokum Ish Tzuraros, and he did tshuva. And there on the spot, he was chozer b'tshuva, and he said, you know what, the only way I can have a tshuva is I have all four dalet nisos bezdin. So he came up with this incredible technique of how he's going to have all four. He built a platform, and under the platform he put a sword. He stuck in a sword and he hung himself, and then they torched the platform, so that was Sreifa. And then as the platform was torched, the rope that he was hung on snapped and he fell down, so that's Skilas falling down, and he fell down on top of the sword, that's a Herig. And in the process he was also hung on a rope, which also was Chenik. So he came up with this very elaborate way to have all Dalet Nisos Bezdin, and he tortured himself to death in the form of doing tshuva, chozer b'tshuva. And as he died a few moments before his uncle died, and his uncle said, I already see in Shemayim, my nephew already has preceded me into Gan Eden. And he's Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer says, how could this be? I work my whole life to serve Hashem, and here, yesh, kon elom v'shachas, in one moment he was chozer b'tshuva. It was this person whom Yitzchak Avinu saw at this moment in time, the Boigdav, a Rasha, a rebel, yet he was chozer b'tshuva, and from this Yitzchak Avinu had tremendous nachas. So I want to suggest, why did the Medrash pick specifically these two Mishalim? Because these two Mishalim capture the essence of Chanukah and Purim. Not just these two individuals, but it captures the entire essence of Chanukah and Purim. The menorah, the first story of Yosef Mishisa. Yosef Mishisa took out of the Mikdash a menorah shel zahav. Chanukah is all about the lighting of the menorah. And what did Yaakov Yishos? He described himself as being a person who has reached the highest levels in society, riding on his horse. That's all we have to read the Medrash. He was riding on this beautiful horse. Look at the difference between my horse and your horse. That's the story of Purim. The story of Purim is Haman. Haman said to Achashverosh, Ish Hashemelech Chafetz Bikaro Yavir Levush Malchus V'sus, a horse, Asherocha Boy HaMelech, and someone should lead him in the street on the sus. Mio ish shamelech chafetz bikaro. This is what a person to whom the king wants to give honor to. The difference, exactly what Haman was basically telling Mordechai, that what are you Jews clinging to your old traditions? It's time to wake up and look. The world has changed, and you have to come and participate in society, the Persian, in the new world. And the entire story of Purim revolves very much around Kavod, Malchus, and Haman's desire to achieve honor, and the way the honor is described in the story of Purim is with a horse. Haman wants to ride on the king's horse in the street. And the story of Purim is how all that was turned around. That's exactly the theme of this story of Yakum Ish Tsereros. He has reached the highest levels of kavod in society, riding on the king's horse, and his uncle, Yosef ben Yehuda, is waiting death row, like Mordechai and Klal Yisrael, Lahashmir Laharig Labedes Kol HaYehudim. What is Yitzchak Avinu saying at this moment in time? I see Golus in front of me. And I see in Golus, there are two major periods of Golus. There's Golus of Modai, and there's the Golus of Yavan. Not to make light of the Golus of Edom and the Golus of Bavel, but these are the two periods, two very dark periods, which even at the end don't lead to the ultimate Gula. Edom leads into the ultimate Geula. He sees these two periods, and he's summarizing. He is summarizing these two periods with these two individuals who capture them both. The period, the generation, the period of time, Golus of Yavan, where Klal Yisrael contaminated their kedusha. They lived. They continued to live just like this person lived, but it was contamination. The Yevanim, and the period of time of Purim of Lahashmir Laharigul Abed is called HaYehudim. And yet the people of these two time periods, they overcame the nesionos of their generations, and they prevailed. And not only do they prevail, Ad Hayom Hazeh, we celebrate their success with the Yom Tov of Chanukah and the Yom Tov of Purim. Now, so that's one idea. Now, what else can we take from this? It's a very peculiar expression in the pasuk, which the Mefarshim are very disturbed by. Re'ei reyach b'ni kereyach soda asher berucho Hashem. Fragrance is not something that you see. Fragrance is something that you sense. It's not grammatically correct to put the word re'ei together with the word reyach b'ni. And before I go further, I'll just tell you that there is a very nice drush I came across where Yaakov Avinu was saying, Chaval. Yitzchak was saying, it's Chaval that I'm blind. If I have a son here in front of me, and I can smell in him the Reach of Gan Eden, and I have such nachas just from the Reach, can you imagine how much nachas I would have if I could see him? So Re'ei Reach, he was making a bakosha. If only I could see the nachas that I sense that I have here in front of me. That's a little bit of a drush. It's a bakasha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's thanking Hashem and he's being mispalel. Only would it be like to actually see my children, to see Yitzchak, because he was blind at this point in time. But going a little bit deeper, what Yitzchak Avinu really is telling us is a very powerful message. We're now coming into the winter, and we have a tendency to look at Chanukah and Purim as two completely different holidays, two completely different concepts. What Yitzchak Avinu is telling us is that you have to take the two generations, the Golus of Yavan and the Golus of Paras Umodai, Paras Umodai, okay, they really go, and you have to synthesize them. Each one feeds off the other. Re'ei relates to the Chanukah menorah, because the miracle of Chanukah was a miracle that was l'malo miderech hateva. It was something giborim biad chaloshim, ma'atim biad rabim biad ma'atim, mutzmeim biad tem. It was something which cannot be denied. It was a miracle l'malo miderech hateva. And the way we celebrate the miracle is with the menorah. The menorah is or is light. Light is something that you see. It's not deniable. It's undeniable. The miracle is right in front of us. Purim, on the other hand, is just a collection of events which each one by itself has no significance. It's something which you have to sense. You can't prove anything just from a sequence of events. There's no proof. There is no proof. It's something that you have to recognize. It's represented in with the concept of Reach. That is why the whole story of Purim all relates to the concept of Reach. It's Kippurim. Yom HaKippurim is Kippurim. Just like on Yom HaKippurim, we bring the Keteres Lefnei V'Lefnim. Purim captures the essence of Reach. Mordechai min Atar Minayin, Mordor. Mordechai is found by the Besanim. The whole essence of the miracle of Purim is something that you sense, but something that's not tangible. Fragrance, the fragrance that you enjoy, you can't touch. You can touch the source. It's burning on the fire, but what you're going to touch is not going to give you any pleasure. What gives you pleasure is something which is not tangible. Chanukah, it's very tangible. I see Giborim Biat Chaloshim. There's no way in the world that we can win with our bow and arrow. We can conquer mighty nations. It doesn't work like that. Not in the world. It's a miracle that cannot be denied. L'mal derech hateva. Okay, two different miracles. Hashem does miracles l'mal derech hateva, and Hashem does miracles which are within teva. Yitzchok Avinu is telling Klal Yisrael, re'ei reyach. Synthesize the two. You look at the reyach. Look at the reyach. Or look at the re'ei, and each one has to feed off the other. When you go through an experience of a Purim, you have to use that experience to actually see the Yad Hashem in the ordinary mundane activities. When you see a miracle, when there's a re'eh, you have to appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just there where it's l'mal derech hateva. Hashem is there even when it's within teva. The two events, the two kufos, have to be viewed together, not as two separate, isolated events. Okay, so that's the idea. To recap the idea, we have over here Yitzhak Avinu. He inhales the fragrance, the begadav. He inhales the clothing of Yitzhak of Yaakov Avinu. Vayarach Hasrech begadav. Begadav, according to Rashi, is boigdav. The Medrash gives two very specific examples of Yosef Mishisa and Yaakov Ish Tzeros. Yosef Mishisa represents Chanukah, the Ner Shel Menorah Shel Zahav. Yaakov Ish Tzeros represents Purim, the person riding on the horse with their kavod versus his uncle who is about to be executed. And the holidays are very different, and these represent the full scope of Golus, the Golus period of time of the year of between the Moadim in the winter time, and the Musar Haskel of Yaakov Yitzchak Avinu the Klal Yisrael. As you're coming to these two tkufos, don't view the two tkufos separately. They're a team. They're a team where each one feeds off the other. Okay, let's go to another idea. At the end of the parasha, Esav decides to take for himself another wife. Who is the second wife? Vayelech Esav el Yishmol, vayikach esmochlas bas Yishmol bas Avram achleis nevoyos. He forms an alliance with his cousin, with Yishmol. We discussed this week. We discussed the Mila, not to go over the whole word again, but we discussed that Yishmol is called the Zera of Avraham. Esav is the Zera of Yitzchak. Each one has what the other one is missing. The Zera of Yitzchak. Esav is the Zera of Yitzchak, but he's not the Zera of Avraham. Yishmael is the Zera of Avraham, but Yishmael is not the Zera of Yitzchak. So now when Esav sees that the one that has received the bracha is Yaakov, and Yaakov is the Zera by definition is the Zera of Esav, was also received the brachos of the Yitin Luchas Birkas Avraham. So now he knows he's in trouble, that he's no match for Yaakov, because Yaakov has won over him. He is both the Zera of Avraham and the Zera of Yitzchak, whereas Esav is only the Zera of Yitzchak and is not the Zera of Avraham. The only way Esav can form a match, can compete with Yaakov, is if he brings into his being the Zera of Avraham. How can he do that? If he'll be Meshalech with Yishmael. And therefore he goes to Yishmael and he marries a daughter of Yishmael, and now he his children will have within them a combination of the Zera of Avraham and the Zera of Yitzchak, and that he feels will be a match for Yaakov Avinu, who is both the Zera of Avraham and the Zera of Yitzchak. Now, this Rashi does the very long, difficult Rashi. Rashi, the very end of the parasha, Achos Nevoyos, what? The very end, Perek Chofches Pasuk Tes, the last Pasuk of the parasha. It's a very long Rashi. Maybe it's one of the longest Rashis in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Might be. It's a very long Rashi. Achos Nevoyos Mimashma Shenemar. He goes over Bas Yishmol Ani Yedei Shibach. He goes over the whole calculation. And then he says, why is it necessary to tell us? I'm not going to go through the Rashi at all. But the basic gist is, we need to know this fact that he got married to the daughter of Yishmael in order to learn how old Yaakov Avinu was when he died. V'lamadnu shehoy Yaakov b'oysay haperek ben samach gimel shanim. And he goes through a long calculation. And part of the calculation he discovers, v'lamadnu mikan, I'm jumping ahead in the Rashi mikan, shenitman b'beis Aver Yud Dalit Shana, the Achaka Cholach Lichoron, when Yitzchak and Rivka sent Yaakov to Lavan to get married, he took a detour. He went to Koilil for 14 years before he got married. He took this detour. Okay, so he went there for 14 years, and the only way we know this is through this elaborate calculation, and the only way we know about this calculation, a critical pasuk that would tells us the numbers, is the very last pasuk here. Vayelech Esav el Yishmol, vayikach esmochlas bas Yishmol, avin Avraham, achos nevoyos al noshav lol isha. If we would not have this pasuk in the Torah, we would be in the dark. We would not be able to make some very sophisticated calculations about the age of Yaakov, the age of Yishmol, and exactly how many years he spent learning. We would not know all this information. The only way we know this information is because of this pasuk. You look at Rashi, go to Rashi, you'll see the calculation and how the pasuk exactly tells us this information. But okay, fine. Now here's the point of this is just an observation I want to make. Throughout history, Klal Yisrael has been in many conflicts with other nations. And mainly our main adversaries are Yishmael and Esav. They stand head and shoulders above all of our other adversaries, because they are jealous of us, because we were their cousins and we separated. We went one way and they went the other way. When we deal with Yishmael, what do? Let's say we have a conflict. What should we do? What should the Rabbanim tell us to do? What shall be our spiritual approach to dealing with Yishmael? We have Yishmael's attacking us. What should we do? Should we daven? Should we learn Torah? Should we give tzedakah? What should be our approach to deal with a sakana that is limited to Yishmael? Good question. What happens if we have a conflict with Esav? Just Esav. Esav is attacking Klal Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom. How do we deal with this? Okay, of course we have to prepare ourselves al pi derech hateva. But on a spiritual, what should we do? Should we go learn Torah, spend focus? Very good. Right. So what do? So L'chor, the Torah tells us what to do. Esav, very clear. Parshas Vayishach. Vayishach Yaakov Alochim Aleisav Ochivartzo Seir Sedom Koyamar. We have a whole thing. Three things. He bribed. Okay, money. Okay, you have to have a lot of money to be good to them. Give them gifts. What else? Tefillah. Come to shul every day. Say Tehillim. What else do we do? Mulchama. You got to prepare for war. You got to be trained. You got to do your shtadlus. Does it say anywhere in Parshas Vayishlach that the Rashi Yeshiva should all get up and say, Rabbi Yisrael, in order to succeed in this battle, you should be mechazik yourself in learning Torah? Everyone should have an extra seder in Talmud Torah. It doesn't say that anywhere in Parashas Vayishlach. If Rachmana Litzlan, we are in the Sakana from Esav, what do? Three things. Doiron, everyone should give a lot away, a lot of money to give gifts to the nations of the world, and they should leave us alone. Tfilah and Mulchama. Yishmael, I don't really know, it's not so clear. The only similar example of Yishmael is Yishmael was mitzachek back in Parashas Lech Lecha. Sarah saw that Yishmael was mitzachek, which simply means that he was a threat. He was a threat to the life of her Yitzchak. So what did she do? Very simple. Goresh es ha'omo hazos v'yes b'no. Get rid of her. Avraham said, no, I don't want to do that. He's my son. Hashem comes to Avraham and says to Avraham, Kol asher tolem asar shma b'kola. Have faith in her. Hashem says just after, I think the message is emunah. Mechazek, the message of dealing with Yishmael, when it's sakana, when Yishmael is mitzachik, Avraham didn't know what to do, and Sarah was a neviyah, and Sarah's level of prophecy, Chazal tell us, was greater. The Rebbe says, to do something, you have emunah in the Rebbe. Who's the Rebbe? Sarah. She was Avraham's Rebbe. Avraham gave Sarah kvitlach. He gave her a kvitl. That's what it says. The spiritual guide of Avraham was Sarah. She had prophecy, nevuah. Hashem said, have faith in her. When we're dealing with a sakana from Yishmael, the Musar, the message of the Torah is, be mechazik yourself in emunah. How you mechazik yourself in emunah? I don't know exactly, but it's not necessarily learning. Learning is not necessarily... There are other ways to mechazik yourself in emunah. Maybe you learn most different type of learning. Learn Musa Svarim, maybe davening. Okay, I'm sure learning also definitely helps.
I'm not sure about davening, because that's...
Okay, whatever. The point I want to make here is, this is just an observation. Here we have a very interesting coincidence. We have here the first time in the Torah concept of Hasmada in Talmud Torah. Being Shaku in Talmud Torah. Yaakov Avinu. For the very first time, Avraham Avinu, certainly everyone on Torah, everyone, we all know Torah, but who's the first one that devoted a significant chunk of his life to nothing but learning Torah? Torah, Nasa. Yaakov. For how many years? 40 years. How do we know that? We only know it indirectly from this pasuk, the last pasuk, which makes this very, very elaborate calculation about the ages of Yaakov and Esav and Yishmael and Yitzchak and so on and so forth. And in the process, there's a discrepancy. And the only way to resolve the discrepancy is to fill in the gaps that it must have been that Yaakov was the main Toirosai Unosai. He took what he started off, Yoshev HaHolim, he took the meat of Yoshev HaHolim in the beginning of the parasha, and he now developed it further to sit 14 years and learn Torah. And when did this happen? This happened when there was an alliance between Esav and Yishmael. What's the Musar Haskel? There are different sakonas in Klal Yisrael. There's a sakana from Esav alone. There are times when there, in history we are a sakana from Yishmael. And then there are times in history, which really is a time that we're dealing with today, is when there is a sakana, when they team up, when they come together. When Esav and Yishmael make peace among themselves for the purpose, Rachmana Litzlan, of causing harm to Klal Yisrael, Muhammad Skaid Magog. In history, generally speaking, they're not at peace with each other. They're fighting. They're not, and when one is our enemy, the other one is our friend. But Luchemes Goig Umagoig is at Kufa when Vayelech Esav El Yishmael, when there is an alliance between Esav and Yishmael. They see eye to eye. And then when they decide to cause harm, that is a whole different caliber, Rachmana Litzlan, of Tzara for Klal Yisrael. How do we deal with it? Well, we know what to do when we have an Esav. Rashi tells us to give a gift, you daven, and you prepare for war. We know what to do when we're dealing with a Yishmael. Goresh es ha'omo hazos ki lo yirash. Get rid of him. Go to war and have emunah. We don't find a concept of Talmud Torah, but we find the concept of Talmud Torah appearing very cleverly when there's an alliance, the alliance of Esav and Yishmael. And to some degree, that's where the world is going. I mean, you go look at both. We live in a world today, and 9/11 didn't exactly make peace between Esav and Yishmael, but there is a lot of appeasement and a lot of look at the war in Iraq. The United States, how many people died in order to help Esav? How many people from the nation of Esav have died, and how much money of Esav has been given over to Yishmael in order to accomplish something among Yishmael to make some? Did it work? Did it not work? I don't know. But we're living in different times. When we're living in times when Vayelech Esav El Yishmo, to some degree. I'm not saying, I'm making an observation. And therefore, what do we have to know? We have to know that the tool of our generation to protect ourselves, Baruch Hashem, nothing should go, no, there shouldn't be any problem, Chashal, but just as an insurance policy, the tool is a different type of tool than we are accustomed to from Esav alone and Yishmael alone. When Vayelech Esav El Yishmael Vayikach Mochlas, what does Rashi reveal? Now is the time when Yaakov Avinu is spending 14 years. It's not a time for tefillah. It's not a time for emuna. It's a time to devote to Talmud Torah, a different mahalich in protection. This is just an observation.
It's a time to combine all those strategies.
But that's the point, is it's not necessarily combining, doesn't necessarily, 1 + 1 doesn't necessarily mean, it's a different combination.
Rav Moshe Shapiro calls this the merging of the personality of Yishmael with the technology of
the personality of Yishmael with the technology. Wow, that's an interesting way to say it. Very interesting. Okay, now another little ha'ara, I want to tell you a few little ha'ara. I don't have a full idea, but just throw it out. Beginning of the parasha, when Rivka discovered that she is Nakara, they daven. Rashi tells us each one goes into their corner, and each one is mispalel. Yitzchak is mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the children you give me shall only be through her, and Rivka is mispalel, the children that you give me shall only be through him. Each one is mispalel. Who does Hashem listen to? Vayosel Hashem, lo v'lo lo. Chazal tell us, ein eden metilas sadik ben sadik, letilas sadik ben rasha. What exactly that means, that's not for now. I saw something very interesting. Yitzchak, when he davened the very first time, okay, and this is just a raw material. I don't have a vart, a Musar Haska, but it's just something you can develop on your own, think about over Shabbos. Yitzchak, the first time he davened, is described as Vayetze Yitzchak Losuach Bas Sodeh, field. And Chazal tell us that Avraham was a har. Avraham, he went up to the mountain. And Yitzchak is Bas Sodeh. And Yaakov is called a Bais. Yaakov Avinu, he says, Va'evin Azoz Asher Samti Matzeva Yihye Beis Elokim. Three different levels of tefillah. A level of tefillah called har. A level of tefillah called Bais, Sodeh. Sodeh is limited, it's not a mountain, it's confined to some degree, and the bayis is very confined, it's a makom, it's a very specific. The Beis HaMikdash, we're in Kurbanos, we don't have as manazeh Beis HaMikdash, so we are mispal. Our tefillah is bimkoim Kurbanos. Most of the Kurbanos, the vast majority of Kurbanos, when the carbon is offered, we apply two applications of blood to the foundation of the Mizbeach. Why two? What are they? It's called Shtayim Shehein Arba. Really, we should apply blood to the entire circumference, perimeter of the Mizbeach, but by applying the blood to the two corners, in essence, you are applying blood to the entire Mizbeach, because each corner covers two sides. So when you put blood on the two diagonal corners, you are really applying blood to the entire Mizbeach. It's called Shtayim Shehein Arba. The only exception is the Karban Pesach and Ma'aseh Behema, those are exceptions. When it says here that Yitzchak went to Davin in a corner and Rivka went to Davin in a corner, so I saw this, it's in the Medrash. What they were doing is, it's Shtayim Shehein Arba. They are being mispalel as if they're offering Karbanos. And being that they're both cleverly, they're very precisely located at the corner, so it's like, just like we apply blood to the two corners of the Mizbech, which by providing the corners of the Mizbech really defines the space, encompasses the entire Mokom. A Mokom has to have four sides. Ideally, a Rishus HaYachid is a confined area. Rishus HaYachid has four sides. Okay, l'chalach, so the Shail, you need three walls, you need two walls. But there's something in halacha called the Paseh Biros. Paseh Biros is special halacha where you don't have halachic walls under any condition, but if you have the corners defined, there are four corners defined, that That definition establishes a makom. When you apply the blood in the four corners of the mizbech, what you're doing is you are defining the makom. Two corners automatically encompasses, when you draw the natural extension of the line, this is the makom. When Yitzchak and Rivka were mispalel, they weren't just mispalel. The combination of their tefillah defined their goal, their makom, what they want to leave over in this world. See, and this is expressed two ways. Yitzchak wasn't mispalel, oh, she needs to have children. Rivka was mispalel, he needs children. Gesundheit. Their tefillah was for each other. It was a combination. Yitzchak's tefillah was, the children that you give me shall only be through her. Rivka was mispalel, so it says in Rashi, that the children that you give me shall only be through him. They were mispalel at two diagonal corners. And by doing the two diagonal corners, that it covers all bases. But it only covers all bases when you take into consideration the other corner. If I daven here and you daven there, I daven in this location, I have nothing to do with you, and you have nothing to do with me. But when you daven at a corner, just like when you bring a carbon, the blood is applied in the corners, and the corners, when you draw the lines, they intersect, and that defines a makom, which brings the two corners together in one makom. That's exactly the deeper meaning of Yitzchak and Rivka davening at two corners. They daven at two diagonal corners, which automatically intersect when they are extended, meaning that I'm davening for you and you're davening for me, and by doing so we are going to create for ourselves a combination of our forces, a makom in this world to serve Hashem. Okay, now let's go to another short idea. We learn again, going back to the concept of rech. This week we mentioned, let me elaborate a little bit more. Yitzchak Avinu tells who he thought at that time was Esav, take telicha v'kashtecha. What is telicha v'kashtecha? A sword and a bow. And go out to the field and v'tsudu litzoid. Now, we know that Esav, there are many mahalchim to understand the brach. I'm just throwing out one short idea to open up some deeper meaning into the Birchus Yitzchak. Yitzchak was an expert hunter. Why? Esav was an expert hunter. It was an expert hunter. He was ish sode, ish tzayit, ish sode. Yet Chazal tell us he did not go out to the field with his big day chamudos. When Esav would go to hunt, he wore special clothing, magical clothing from Nimrod, which assisted him in his skills of hunting.
Nimrod.
He wore the clothing of Nimrod. It had some pictures, images, and very mysteriously, he left the clothing home at home. That's why Rivka was able to dress her son Yaakov in the big day Esav hachamudos. Why didn't Esav take with him his special hunting clothing when he went to bring the special delicacy for his father? So the answer is, okay, this is all drush. When Yitzchak told Esav, I want you to go out to the field to capture food, I don't want you to use your hunting skills. I want you to accomplish something out there in the field. Of course, it'll be al derech hateva, but it should be to the koyach of tefillah. There shall be siyata deshmaya. And when I instruct you to use Yitelicha v'kashtecha, it's similar to what Yaakov said to Yosef, I'm giving you Shechem achad alachecha, shalakach nimyad ho'amori, b'charbi uvikashti, which the Targum translates through my koyach hatzfila. Now certainly Yaakov Avinu, when he fought battles with weapons, but Yaakov did not attribute his success to the weapons, he attributed his success to the koyach hatzfila that accompanied him in battle. Yitzchak said to Esav, I'm giving now you the brachas. In order for me to give you the brachas, it has to be chal upon something. I want you to accomplish something for me, mikoyach hatzfilah. Accomplish something through the koyach hatzfilah, and then that will elevate me to a spiritual level where I'll be able to bestow upon you the brachas. If you're going to go out with ultra high tech GPS technology to go capture animals and who knows. There's nothing special. It's teva. It's pure teva. And the bracha is not going to be chal. You have to do something to earn the bracha. To earn the bracha, accomplish something with siyata d'shmaya. Take telicha v'kashtecha means go out to the field, take a bow and arrow, okay, nothing fancy, and take with you a tehillim. And be mispalel that Hashem should give you the siyata d'shmaya that you'll be able to capture an animal even though your aim is not so good. And then that animal will bring me, you'll prepare, I'll be able to make a bracha, this came through the koyach ha-tfila, and you will succeed. Problem is, Esav is helpless. Esav is not exactly able to accomplish anything in the koyach ha-tfila because he doesn't know how to daven. And the fact is, I'll tell us that the best that he could find was a dog. He went out to, the field, he couldn't find anything. A dog. How could the master hunter only come back with a dog according to the Medrash? Because if you're not wearing your special clothing, you don't have all your technology, then you're helpless. The tefillah, I should be mispalel to Hashem, I should be in the right place at the right time, and the animal should come to the right place and capture the animal. Hashkocha pratis, that was not Esav's skills. That was not his forte, so he had a hard time. The best he can come up with a dog. Exactly. But Yaakov now, but here comes the big question. Yaakov Avinu cheated. He didn't do anything. Yaakov didn't even go out to the fields. All he did was he went to the barn and he took two animals and he brought them to Rivka and they slaughtered them and they put it in the stove on the range and they prepared it. He did nothing. So he didn't even do that. So how could it be then that Yitzchak was able to to enjoy the matamim and use that as a springboard to give tremendous bracha to his child when he did even less than when he was asking from Esav? The answer is... What? But it's more than kibbutz. It appears that kibbutz was not enough. He had to do something unique, something special of accomplishing something with the koyach ha-tfila. Take your sword and bow, kashti, charbi, v'kashti, koyach ha-tfila, go out to the field, siyat ha-shnaya, bring me a product of your tfila in order that I can give you bracha. Yitzchak did not even do that. He just did the kibbutz avoein, but he did a kibbutz avoein, but he did not provide a product of tfila. So there's a little Rashi. I think Rashi answers the question. Where did Yaakov get two Gidoye Izim? From Rivka. Where did Rivka get it? She held up a bank? What did she do? The barn. What right does she have to steal her property of her husband? Oh, so Rashi says, I'm entitled to these Shtei Gidoye Izim. It's written in the Ksulu. When my husband married me, he promised me he would give me every day or every so often two Gidoye Izim, and it's mine. And it's mine, and therefore I'm giving it to you, my son, as a gift, and you go now and present this to your father, to Yitzchak. Doesn't answer the question. Doesn't answer the question, because still it's not a product of tefillah. The answer is, the Shnei Gidoye Izim is the ultimate product of tefillah. What do I mean? How did Yitzchak merit to marry Rivka? Vayetze Yitzchak losuach basodeh. He was mispalel for a zivug.
Goes around, comes around.
He was mispalel for a zivug. And through his koyach ha-tfilah, Pasuk reveals to us in Parshas Chayesara, the whole story of Mehashem Yotza Hadavar, what was working behind the scenes, that it goes back to what we started with. But he really took, the truth was, it really was Yitzchak marrying, taking him for himself a wife. Because although Eliezer was traveling and everything was happening by itself, it was only happening through the koyach of tefillah of Yitzchak, who was Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh. Built into the accomplishment of Yitzchak's tefillah, he married her. Part of marrying her, he has obligations to provide his wife with her necessities, her needs, and that includes the Shnei Gidoy Izim. So it comes out, the Shnei Gidoy Izim were the product of Yitzchak's own tefillah. So now what Yaakov is serving his father Esav, I ask you to go provide me with a product that's a product of tefillah. This is the ultimate product of tefillah because Yitzchak himself produced it. It was in disguise. Reach, and that's when we learn the Reach when he kereach sada. It goes back to what we said at the beginning of this week. He's smelling his own Reach, but it's not that he's smelling his own Reach. He is enjoying the product of his own work, his own efforts, his own effort.
How could Yaakov listen to his mother? She said, "Alaik lelas bleh." So he's saying, "Okay, I'll do it, and you'll get the curse."
That's what she said to him.
Right. So he's going to do keep it, and she's going to get the curse.
No, that's when he was caught. That's if there would be a curse.
By Esther, she said, "Somu alai." What do you mean, "somu alai"? You mavadl, the rice and not to eat on Pesach because you said. She said, Esther said, "I no benevuah that you don't fast now. You don't eat. You fast." And the same thing Rivka said, "I know b'nevuah lie that you have to go and get the bracha."
Okay, all right, okay.
But
the point is, you never know. That's the Musa Haskell life. You always, when you give a bracha, when you do something good, what goes around comes around. Who are you really helping? You're helping yourself. When a person accomplishes something, you never know years later what you think you're doing for someone else, what you're accomplishing comes back to haunt you in a good way. Here was a product of tefillah, which Yitzhak himself produced by marrying her. The whole only reason why there is shnei gedoy izim to give her is because Vayitzhak is a little surba sada, and it's that very object which he himself produced through his own koicha tefillah is now being given back to him in order that Yaakov should receive the brachas. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Shabbos Mevarchim.